Good morning, saints. Hope you trust you have your Bibles with open to Judges, chapters 6, 7, and 8. And in that time that you're getting there, I'd just like to share a testimony. I'm with the Gideons, and I want to thank you all for the being humble and honored to speak here today about Gideon. I'm going to do a message on Gideon as well. And the Gideon ministry is a ministry that's been going on for 120 plus years. Brother Paul has been in the ministry. He's here, Brother Paul Kruk. He's here, and I just thank you for his faithfulness as well. And I thank you, Pastor Allen, and as well for you saints just being here today and the opportunity, because we're all going to learn. I've learned the most preparing this about Gideon. And the testimony I'm going to share is just happened a few months ago. Gideons get to go into jails, prisons, with getting certified. And in the Milwaukee County Jail, usually go there once a month. And a few months ago, I want to be honest with you, I had my first privilege and honor to share with somebody, and somebody came to know Jesus Christ. Now my question to you, as well as is for me to continue, does God have you prepared when that time comes to share the love of Jesus and follow through with the salvation plan? That's the question when you leave these doors today. Ask yourself, are you prepared to go and share? I came to know the Lord in 1996. Later in life, I was a debauchery to God. He transformed my life. I can't thank him enough. I never went back, but I love it. I love those people. I love all people. Let me ask you a question. Do you love the lost? You should. You have to. You've got to love them for who they are. And be careful that you don't fall into it and to stay in this book. And I'm going to share about Gideon a little bit later. Anyhow, in the Milwaukee County Jail, there's third, fourth, fifth, and sixth floors. There's four pods to a floor. And there's an officer in the middle of that floor, and there are four pods, and there's one officer in each pod. I go to those pods, by the grace of God, to hand out testaments and Bibles to them. And also, I ask if I can have permission to do Bible studies. It's amazing the people that do not understand the Word of God. Dear ones, Brother Dick shared this morning as well. Many people don't even understand the Bible. They don't even know where to go in the Bible, what to look for in the Bible. The only Bible they're going to see is you when you come and witness to somebody. But by the grace of God, they'll take a Bible and the Lord will speak to them. Lo and behold, I was going to the pods, and I went to the fifth floor in 5C. And there was only a few people in there, inmates in there. There are two floors. When you're in a pod, there's cells all around on the outside, and there's a second story in on a floor. And the doors were open, but there's only a few people that took a Bible. And I said to the officer, I think I'm going to head out. There's no one wanted to do a Bible study. He says, wait. There's a guy coming on the second floor. He comes and he says, sir, can you do a Bible study with me? I said, certainly, why not? I asked the officer. He said, okay, go up to the library. Dear ones, he had his Bible. He was very astute with the Bible. He was very knowledgeable. But he kept on reading the sinner's prayer every day. Every day he kept on praying that sinner's prayer. I said, did you ever make it a reality and a moral choice in your life to believe this? To believe that sinner's prayer in your heart? No. God wants a relationship with us. He created us and he wants that relationship. And we got our intellect, our heart, and our will. A lot of times you have the intellect and the heart. But dear ones, you know what the hard choice is with many people? They will not take that exercise of their will to believe it and obey it. Anyhow, I shared with him. He was reading these verses. What does that mean to you? I said, read it all. What does it mean to you? I want to know Jesus. That's it. By the grace of God, the Lord worked and God imputed his righteousness on his account. We were overflowing with joy. I come out of that library. He was just so humble and just, he wanted to hug me. I said, don't just do a bump. We're on camera. There's cameras all over. You can't get away. I don't want to lose the privilege of going in there because there's many others that haven't heard. The majority of them haven't heard. Anyhow, he was excited. I still pray for him to this day. I pray for him every day. I don't know where he is. I couldn't even pronounce his name. He said, it's Radoslav. Radoslav. Do you know where he was from? I didn't know where he was from. Siberia. So it's a brother in the Lord. I come out of that library. I said, officer, you won't believe this. What happened? What happened? You okay? I said, yeah. He got saved. He said, praise the Lord. And you wanted to get out of here. Are you ready to do God's will at his time and not ours? So I thank the Lord for the opportunities we have to get the word of God out in the highways and byways of life. And to reach souls for Jesus. That's God's will. And I'm going to be sharing about this. And just before, the majority of you know about the Gideon ministry. I think the ministry started in Boscobel. Our Bibles, many of you know the Bibles are in the hotel motels, right? Dear ones, that's only about 8% of what we do globally. Over 80% of what the Gideons and Auxiliary do is to reach the next generation, the younger generation, the youth and college. We were at Madison for a couple days. We were in Milwaukee. I just got done with doing the Marquette University 2 weeks ago, and last week we did UWM. Dear ones, these young ones, they're looking, and this is the thing, they're looking for purpose and meaning in life. Look in their eyes. They're looking for hope. They're looking for security. They're looking for something. And they're lost. Just like in our Sunday school with Pastor this morning. The preaching of the cross to them that are perishing is foolishness. They have no understanding. Yesterday at a church, I stood outside in the parking lot and giving out candy to trick-or-treaters, but I put a track in there and I share with the parents. And I give them a Gideon testament if I want to share with them. You know, if they're willing. A neighbor comes over, and his name is Elijah. In a group home, he had no clue. He said, Jim, I want to get together with you that I can know Jesus. People do not understand. Jesus said, So the Father sent I, so I send you. So as the Father has sent the Lord Jesus Christ, and now the Lord Jesus Christ says, so now I send you, each and every one of us here in this room. So send I you. And so this morning, we can go on. There's other testimonies. Madison, there's a lot of people from their lips. They're praising and giving thanks. You have the rejection, but the rejection isn't about you. They just don't want to know this about Jesus. They don't want nothing to know about God. They want to get him out of the... He's not in this world. They're taking him out. There's no more morals. There's nothing. It's decaying fast. And even in the life that I lived, and some of you here as well, look at how it's changing so fast. The moral decay. The apathy. But we as the church, to stand uncompromising, steadfast, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. We all have a duty. And God has a will. And today I'd like to just talk about Gideon's. And this is, it blends right in. In Judges, you're all there. I don't want to show our hands, but does everybody know about the Gideon story? The Gideon's? No. Huh? Well, I'm going to do a brief overlay of it, but I'm praying by the grace of God, since I was preparing this, that you can leave here, because it's speaking about each and every one of us as well, about faith. It's all about faith. If you take the story about Gideon, Gideon was in chapter 6, 7, and 8. Gideon, think of it as three acts, three dramas. In chapter 6, Judges chapter 6, it's about his call. He was called by God. So when you go home, I'm going to challenge you to read Judges 6, 7, and 8 and think about things that have been shared today, how it can impact and strengthen your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, for his will and purpose. So Judges 6 is his call. Judges 7 and half a part of chapter 8 is his conquest. Does anybody know what happened to Gideon after in chapter 8? Anybody know? Anybody know? You know what happened? He compromised. He compromised. And we'll get into that. At the beginning of Gideon's ministry, God commanded him to tear down the altar to Baal that his father, an idolater, had built. His father was an idolater. And he built Baal. Gideon is an encouragement, and I'm praying by the grace of God, that after today, and the days, and the months, and the years, until you take your last breath, Gideon was an encouragement in knowing and doing the will of God. Not my will, not Pastor Davis's will, God's will. And God's will is in this book. It's the Word of God. And now there are four assurances I'm going to talk about as well. And I'm going to try to wrap them up. I'm just going to mention them. And then I'm going to talk about them, dissect them a little bit, that you can all understand it in Judges chapter 6, 7, and 8. Just the biblical account, and then we can trust in him, what he wants to do through us. The four assurances about the will of God are: we can be sure God has a purpose for every life. Everyone in this room, he's got a purpose. He created you. He's got a purpose for you. No matter how small, no matter how old, no matter what age you are, he has a purpose for you. He created you. And then the second one was, God's purpose is revealed in the Word of God. If we grab hold of his purpose, it's going to be revealed in the Word of God. And then the third one is, God's word is fulfilled. You know when, dear ones? When we believe this. When we believe it, not just know it, not just study it, not just be intellectual about it, but believe what this word has to say, not what this person says and that person. Go home and study it. You all have a responsibility. Our responsibility is to Jesus Christ. And him alone. We're going to have opposition, dear ones. We are. Many are going to be sympathetic. But standing for the truth that has set us free, and not to be ashamed and fearful and like Timothy, like Judges, like Gideon was. And I'm going to get into that. So the third one was, God's will is fulfilled when we believe it and obey it and we act upon it. And the fourth one is, this is the best one. I'm going to leave you in suspense. It's powerful. It's truly powerful. So you got the three, and I'll leave the last one till at the end. All righty. God, the first assurance. When you think about Gideon, here you are sitting there, and I'm thinking about preparing this. Let's not get so critical about Gideon. He had his faults. We all have faults. I have faults. And we got weaknesses that can be strengthened by him. But dear ones, Gideon is listed in this book, the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 11, with some of the most wonderful people, as Abraham, Moses, David, and others of that stature. Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. From faith to faith. Dearly beloved brethren, it's faith to faith. Not what we see. This isn't our home. But we're here to be those lights, the beacon for his ministry. God does not give us overcoming life. He gives us life as we overcome it. We got to overcome. We got to rise above because we have the Spirit within us. We're going to get into this. He wants to work through us. And dear ones, through this whole message, God has one main purpose for each and every one of us. He wants to build your character. Your character in a lost and dying world. It's all about your character. And I'm going to get in. Gideon had a small faith. We all have small faith. I had a small faith. But the more I can... I'm speaking here. My knees would be knocking in front of people before. If I don't take those steps of faith to share about the good news, he's working in me. It's to be that broken bread and pour it out wine for others. And how he transformed my life. Not reformed, transformed my life to Jesus. The strain, if you're going through something, we all go through things in life, infirmities, the prayers. The strain is the strength. You're going through it. Just keep focused on Jesus. On what he wants to do through you. Those people that you're seeing, the doctors, are you a testimony to them? Wherever you go. The strain, if there is no strain, there is no strength. I'm going to say that over again. When there is no strain, there's no strength. Even at your jobs. Is there a strain? How is your character being amplified? Here's something about commitment. Commitment is the ability to carry out a worthy cause beyond the inspiration of that moment. You know, when we get excited, somebody mentions something, you want to do this, you do it, but after the moment is done and over, what about the next week? You're back to the same old thing. Where's the joy to serve and let the Lord lead you? Let the Spirit go before you. So commitment, our commitment to Jesus Christ is to carry out a worthy cause. Go into the world. Go. Take the lever out of neutral and put it in drive. Go. And do you know what? There's missionaries in here. I was going to share something too with Dick. When we go, he's talking about it yet. And he's home here. But you know what happened? God will even use other believers over there where he, on his mission field, to help him build his faith. There were people there. God has his people all over. He has his people all over. So we can be sure God has a purpose in every life. And we got to lay hold of this, brethren, that the truth with our mind, heart, and will. We got to lay hold. It's important. Why are you here? Mind, heart, and our will. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, as you read in chapter 6 there. And the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. What is a definition of valor? Anybody think about in your mind. What is, when you read that word, mighty man of valor, in verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto, in Judges chapter 6, verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. What does valor mean? I had to look it up. Get some books together. It's the strength of your mind or the spirit, right? Of the spirit to encounter danger. To encounter danger with firmness and bravery. And God does that for you. If you trust Him, believe me, trust me, obey me. Oh, mighty man of valor. Because it's God's power that God's will was being done with the Midianites. There were 132,000 people there. The Midianites and the Amalekites. Going after the Israel, the Jews. So the mighty man of valor, the strength of mind or the spirit to encounter danger. When danger comes your way. We all go through danger. We all go places. It's not in my, well, we go places. God will protect us. But we can't just be flip-floppingly. God has given us a will. He's given us a mind. So we can have firmness going through whatever might be going before you. Dear ones, here Gideon's family was, think of Gideon. I was thinking of Gideon here. It states here as well in chapter 6 as you read it. Because my time is going pretty quick and I want to get through by all means. Gideon was from the smallest tribe. Gideon's father, Joash, was an idolater. And here God called Gideon. And here Gideon is, they're up in the Israelites are all up in the mountains. And Gideon was by the wine press with a grove around it. And he was threshing wheat alongside the wine press. Now think about it. When you thresh wheat, you farmers, if there's any farmers here, you thresh the wheat, you go in the open and the wind takes the chaff and blows that away that you got the wheat. And here he's up there. But he was threshing the wheat next to the wine press. He was working, even amidst of all what was going on as they're being attacked. And God called him. You know, never underestimate, even as I shared with the fellow yesterday. Never underestimate what the Lord can do through you. You know, we can't judge anybody. We're not here to judge. You got to strike that from your heart. We're not here to judge. Never underestimate. Think of your children. We're all going to go through things in life. We are. I have three lovely children. I got the son-in-laws, and I have a daughter-in-law, and I have 13 grandchildren. And we have situations going on. But never, I can't underestimate what God's going to do through them come to know Jesus. Who am I? God's in control of that. He's the one that has to work in the lives from within. If anything, a lot of times we put a damper on their spiritual growth once in a while. What we say, our attitude, our character. And how many of us here, Gideon, he had a low view of himself. He's in the threshing floor. Me, Lord, you're going to call me. Who am I? I'm the least of my family. I'm poor. I'm a farmer. You want to use me? Yes. And he can use each and every one of you. Never underestimate that. That's powerful. I don't know where he's taking me, but I know there's something. He's preparing me. And I'm joyful of it. To be ready. A lot of times we get a low view of ourselves. I come alongside other Gideons and other people, and I listen. I like to listen. And they get a low view of them, who they are. I'm an introvert. You can pray. You got to step above that. No, 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 I can't, no. If you have the Spirit, He wants you to step above that. Out of self, to be for Him. Gideon, he was a dirt farmer. The Lord used him. He was doubtful, fearful. God accomplished His purpose in Gideon for Gideons, and here's something for all of us. God accomplished His purpose in Gideon for Gideon's own good and for God's glory. Just like me behind here and sharing with you all. The Lord's speaking to my heart. I need to hear it too. We got to humble ourselves. Let me say that one more. God accomplishes His purpose in Gideon for Gideon's own good and for you as well. And it's for God's glory. He called together 32,000 tribes. He had 32,000 people from other tribes. And God said, I want it down to 300. You know, His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He wants us just to be faithful to Him. And like I mentioned before, the purpose of the will of God is to build character, which is salt. What does salt do here? It hurts. It burns. It preserves. Salt burns. Because truth, people don't want to hear the truth. Get away from me. I don't want to hear that. I can go places. I can see them all. They're all separated. They don't want to be around by me. The truth. It's offensive. It's offensive. But love them. Pray for them. Dear ones, we can be sure that God has purpose for every life. God, He has made you tailor-made. Did you get what I mean by that? You are unique. You are that individual. There's not another you out there. Around the globe, around the world, you are you. You are tailor-made, and He has a purpose for you. I'm from the old school. It isn't like the Robert Hall. You remember the Robert Hall, some of you older people? You wear the same clothes. You do the same thing. You follow everybody else. No. He created you specifically, and there's not another one out there like you. You are unique. You are tailor-made. And everyone is important in God's eyes. If you are one of God's children, you better find out what His will is for you in His life. Dear ones, find out. He has a purpose in saving you and receiving the Holy Spirit. Here's something with Gideon. And as you read the scriptures, you guys are all biblical. And I like it because Grace Bible Church, the Bible. Basic instruction before leaving earth. The Bible, that's what you stand on. And thank you, Pastor, for preaching it. The Bible. The worker is more important than the work. Let me repeat this. The worker is more important than the work. Do you know, you share with me, if anybody in this Bible, that God could have sent an angel to kill those 132,000 Midianites. Just a while ago, He killed 80,000. He sent an angel to kill 80,000. But you know what God wanted? He wanted to build Gideon's character, his faith. Because he had a little faith. He was fearful. He was doubtful. He was nervous, anxious. But God wanted to work through him. He wants to build his faith. So this is number two. God's purpose is revealed in his word. When you give yourself to the Lord, he will talk to you. And if you read in Judges 6, 7, and 8, don't quote me, but about around 12 times, God spoke to Gideon. He spoke to him. In the Old Testament, and it was brought up this morning a little bit. In the Old Testament, Israel had signs and wonders. And God dealt, just that they were coming out of Egypt through the Red Sea, the signs and the wonders, the pillar at night, the fire, all that. It was all done by signs and wonders. And today, God is not working that way in the New Testament. Back then, in Galatians chapter 4, it talks about Israel was in a childlike mentality, like children. They didn't graduate to middle school. They didn't graduate to high school. They didn't graduate to college or graduate school. They were at elementary level of signs and wonders. Dear ones, we got this book. It's all we need. We got this book. We got this book. When God called Gideon, he was busy. Let me ask you, I'm not here to offend anybody. God is going to only work through busy people. Oh, I can't do that. I gotta meditate a while on it or whatever. If you can find one person in this Bible that did not work, you let me know. You find one that was lazy. You find one. Moses was with the sheep. Gideon, threshing the wheat. David, taking care of his father's flock. Peter, mending his nets. Paul, called the best rabbi when God called him. God doesn't call lazy people. Start doing something. Get busy with God. You know, I think of some people of time past, read testimonies and everything, and biographies. Charles Spurgeon and D.L. Moody. I'm sure some of you know those two. They're always busy. The Lord is working through them mightily. They're always busy. Like the phone is never off the receiver. They're always busy. They took time for their vacation with their family like that. Yeah. But they're always busy for the Lord's ministry. For the Lord's work. God likes to get a hold of people who are humble and honest with himself. Gideon was humble with himself. I got to be humble. You all have to be humble. God works through humble people. If you're prideful, he's not going to work. Because you think you can do it, go ahead. A lot of times you're going to falter. The majority of times you are. Or all the time you are without him. You need him. He should be in the front to build that character. And the conduct, our character is the salt, and our conduct is the light, to be that beacon of light. When we take the Word of God and stay in it and read it, and you all have to answer yourself. You've got to be honest with yourself. I have to be honest with myself. Some days, I'm going to be honest. I got other things going on. I don't get to it. I think of during the day, I think about some verses. I got to get it. Don't have to put guilt trip on. But you gotta speak. You gotta let the Lord speak to you. And it's in this word. This word cleanses and renews our minds. It cleanses our mind from these worldly pressures that we're in, jobs, people calling, this, that, whatever it may be. He cleanses us from all these worldly things. Now all the elections are coming up and all this and I hear so much. I said, Lord, we have a duty. We got to vote. Choose the best. God's in control. But it cleanses and renews the mind that we don't lose the joy of who He is to us, that Spirit within us. What do you want to do through? Are you talking to Him at night? Are you praying during the night of people that come to your mind? We should not think the way the world thinks. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God speaks to us when this book is open. And I'm just going to get to the end because I only got 5 minutes. You know, at the end of Gideon's life, here Gideon conquered the Midianites, and here he is at the end of his life. And he said to, he told the people, Israel wanted him to be the king. You and your son. No, God is God. Keep focused with God. And you know what Gideon did? He asked for all the gold. He asked for a lot of gold. He had a lot of shekels, 17,000 shekels of gold. And he made an ephod, an idol, an ephod. And they're warming, the people are going to it and worshiping that. And Gideon went into idolatry with concubines and so many wives. Went back to the same old thing. Just went back. And dear ones, that can happen to any one of us, including me. If we don't stay to Him and stay true to Him. Because the evil one's out there. It's not flesh and blood. It's the principalities, the powers, the dominions of the air that we battle, that we fight. Put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. Because the Bible gives us principles. It gives us commands, examples that we can live by. That's what this Bible is about. We're in touch with heaven, of our home. We're going to be together with all our loved ones that have gone home before us. All those that were fighting the good fight of faith as well. Number 3, God's word is fulfilled as we believe it, obey it, and then act upon it. When Gideon stopped obeying God, God stopped talking to him. When we believe the act on God's word, we believe this book and we trust it and obey it. And everyone has to, through your experiences of life, experiences are only a doorway. Don't rest on your experiences. You're headed to a little bit of disaster. Experiences are only a doorway to the end result. You just thank the Lord Jesus, whatever it may be. You see His hand. And if you have a temptation, you know, if you got a temptation coming, I'm just going to throw this in there. If you got a temptation that you're battling against, you know what you'd say? Praise the Lord. He'll flee from that. You got a temptation? Or even with the Spirit. Spirit, take that away. He will. That's the God that He loves us. He loves us. I was thinking of that man in the synagogue in the Gospels. When Jesus was in a synagogue and there was a man with a withered hand. And he's in the synagogue like here. And Jesus says to the man in the withered hand, stand up. He stands up. What do you think all the people are thinking? Oh, why are you picking on that man with the withered hand? Why are you picking on that man? And then God said, stretch forth your hand. He did. Guess what? It was healed. God commands and God enables. And it's no different for us today. It's no different for us today. You believe it? You got to believe it. This word. Think about this. There were 135 Mennonites against 300 Jews. When I multiplied that out, do you know how much that is about? to 450 Mennonites. Ah, God had it all under control. As you're reading here, Gideon and his helper went to the camp outside, and they were talking about it was going to fall, and the Midianites were going to fall. And he did. The sword of the Lord and Gideon, those 300 men. And you know what they had for weapons? Do you think Gideon went to college to be the best officer? He was only a dirt farmer. God still used him. Did he go to college? What weapons are you going to use? Trumpets, pitchers. Oh, really? That's the God we worship. That's the God we worship. The battle cry of most evangelicals, you know, if we would put Madison or the government here in Oconomowoc in charge of doing something, it can't be done. It can't be done. We know who our God is, and we can believe he'll do it according to his will and purpose if you trust him. And here's the fourth one, which I was hoping to land on. The greatest encouragement to me through this all, it was edifying and humbling through this experience. God will do everything he can do to build your faith. He'll do everything he can to build your faith and that character in life, to be a witness out in the lost and dying world. Now, I know I didn't get onto the fleece. I know Gideon had the fleece. All it was Gideon's fleece was not an act of unbelief. It was just a step in building his weak faith. Gideon had a weak faith. And here's something. Gideon admitted it to God. Yes, Lord, I know. I don't have the faith. That's why I want to have this fleece. Make this fleece wet and the ground dry. Bowl of water comes out the next day. Then he talks to God again. This is amazing. He talks to the Lord again. And he says, now I want you to, and God allows it. He tells Gideon tells God, now I want the ground to be wet and the fleece dry. And it is. Doubt. We all have it. But let God know your doubts. Be honest with yourself. I got to speak to him. I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. We have the right. We have his righteousness. We are perfect in our position with him in the heavenlies. Seated on the right hand of God through Jesus Christ. It's all through Jesus Christ. Anything you do in the flesh is burnt up. Anything you do. The key to God's word, the key to God's will is his word. So it's this book. And the key to the word is faith. I can talk about the fleece, but my time is free. I'm just going to say this. If you're just a new believer and coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you need that fleece, it's fine. Today, for fleeces to me, this is subjective of my understanding, as we have this written word of God. We don't need those signs and wonders of a fleece. If a young believer comes to know Jesus and he wants that, hopefully that he can grow and then he's through the written word of God. Today, God's not working through fleeces. Because there's many people that I know that did a fleece. Now they're mad at God. Now they're mad at God. So dear ones, trust and obey his word. His word is sufficient. Grow in him. Grow in the knowledge and the wisdom of him. And he'll do guide and direct your steps. Let us pray. And Father, I just want to pray before I pray. If there's anyone in here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have that spirit. You can know for sure you're going to heaven. The majority of people says, I don't know if I'm going to heaven. You can know. Dear ones, if there's someone in here today that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can know. Well, how? How? Believe the good news, the gospel. That's the good news. You know what the gospel is in 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4? That Jesus Christ died on the cross by the shedding of his blood for your sins, your sins, and my sins, for the sins of the world. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Put your faith in that, and that alone, and you'll be saved. And God knows your heart. It's not for regret. It's unto repentance, a changed mind. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away. Behold, all things are become new. Put your faith in Christ and Christ alone. There's nothing we can do. And thou shalt be saved. Dear ones, go forth in faith. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for Pastor Davis allowing me to be here today and to share the good news with the dearly beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord. And if there's someone here that does not know the Lord, Father, work within their heart, impute your righteousness on their account, that they can be saved and have eternal life with you forever and ever and ever. Thank you for our time today. We thank you for the luncheon and the sweet fellowship and edifying of one another. And we'll give you all the praise. And it's in Christ's precious name we pray. Jesus Christ, crucified above all names. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.